Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey kids, along with our usual obscenity warning, this episode has content warnings for violent death. Please listen responsibly.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany. And I'm Goodwin.
And today, we're reading Chapter 5 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's burn it all down. Bring it on down. We're burning it all down. It's all getting burnt, and it's really sad.
Okay, so Chapter 5 opens with Evie talking to Jijui about her cats. Then Briar goes over and he's like, ah, this mage is pretty. So then they all get called once again to Emperor Weishu. Weishu gives Evie, or makes one of his generals give Evie his string of mage beads. And he's like, ah, I hear you work with stone. Tell me what these are made of. She starts going through them. Like, a lot of them are made from like other things.
Bone, porcelain,
glass, and wood. She finds the ones that are made of stone, and they all have like really awful spells in them, like spells to make people like super scared or like give them diseases and stuff. And she's kind of horrified.
Actual smallpox.
She's also a little horrified because she's like, this isn't like what the stones are supposed to be used for. But there's like kind of this, oh, well, you wouldn't know because you're a Westerner and you don't understand our traditions. And then Evie is presented with a cat made out of cinnabar. She gets this cat, is kind of talking to the emperor about her cats while Briar is examining the general's beads himself. When they get back to their house, they have the rose and they kind of all go to sleep because they're exhausted. And then Rosethorn has this awful nightmare about roses being splashed with oil, and she wakes up and realizes that they're burning down the entire rose garden where that one rose was dug up and all the gardeners inside of it. Yay, the end. And Briar and Rosethorn get there and the emperor is like still looking on, and he's like, you must understand, if it's not perfect, then it must die. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and absolutely hated about the chapter. Do we need to start with the end?
I'm thinking, yeah. Like, I hated it since we heard it last week. Just waiting to get to that point again in this chapter, mm-hmm. to hear it, and I'm like, it was waiting to get punched in the gut. Like, you know it's coming, and it's gonna suck, but you're just anticipating. You don't know exactly when it's gonna happen, and then it does, and it's like, yeah, I knew it was coming. Still hurts.
Yeah. Pierce does that. It's kind of like you said when we read chapter one, you're like, oh, nobody's died yet, and things are just kind of like, okay, and you know it's gonna get bad, and then when it gets bad, it just gets, it's like a drop-off. It's not like you're wading into the water and it's getting deeper and deeper. It's, you just like fall off and suddenly you're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
As awful as it is, I do have to say, I like the way that she described it.
Yes.
The writing is so well done. It makes it horrific, which is a weird thing to say. Like, it's a weird thing to compliment, but the line, "The gardeners had been bound and left at its center. They were done screaming." It's so good because it's not detailed. Like, it's not giving you this, like, really gruesome, but you know exactly what happened.
Yeah, they're it's too late.
Yeah. And then the emperor says, "Surely you understand that no imperfection is permitted at one of my palaces." I did tell you.
He told you. I mean,
yeah.
He told you it was a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the next chapter just to see how they're going to play this off, because I can't imagine it's going to be comfortable.
What do you mean? Having to reside in the palace of the man who just burned a handful of people and an entire garden down?
Over we'll a little bit of mold.
Yeah,
over that a little was mold,
fixable.
Fine.
A little mold that was fixable and already fixed.
Uh-huh.
And not a problem anymore. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's
not
fine.
A big deal.
I'm sure Brian and Rose Thorne don't care at all. Fine. Not even a little bit.
I wonder if Rose Thorne had not begged him for that rose, would he have burned down the whole garden stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Legitimately, I don't think so.
Like, I wonder if this was a lesson for her.
I think he was trying to prove a point. I don't think it would have been like this had that not happened. Because we were told that they were going to be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, them being rounded up and put into the garden and then set on fire was not actually what the punishment was going to be from what it sounds like.
And this is not at all to, like, cast blame on Rose Thorne or anything.
No.
Yeah,
but I do think that this, yeah.
But I do wonder if he was like, you know, she does this groveling and he's like, okay, fine, you can have the rose. But then in his head, he's like, but I still need to make sure she understands. Yeah. I am head psycho.
Oh, yeah. No doubt that this is a lesson. Knowing what else we see, even just like in this chapter with the beads, there is a line Breyer says, "This lesson isn't for you."
Yeah. Should we move on to happier, possibly happier things?
Possibly happier. I'm kind of possibly happier.
Maybe happier. Jai Jui, when Breyer is staring at her beads and she's like, "You're looking at my, like, my neckline." And he's like, he thought she was too old for him because he is 16.
Yes.
Is that right? And she's 20 something, 24 ish.
Yeah, she's in her 20s. Like,
yeah. But the description of Breyer was rarely caught without something to say. And he's like, "Oh, no, actually, I was looking at your embroidery. Definitely. And not just the beads and not what was under them. Just the embroidery. My foster sister loves, you know, she works magic through thread. So, you know, that's what I was looking at."
Just but I like
very slick.
So that's totally what I was looking at.
Yeah.
I like this, though, because, well, first of all, based on the way the narration tells it, he is, like, focused
on
her beads.
Yeah.
But then I like how she's like, "You're staring at my beads," in a way that's almost like, my eyes are up here. So it's like this sort of, like, flirtatious sexual thing, even though it's not even her body that he's looking at. And I really liked that, like, playing with that scene the way she did.
Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed it. It's funny. When Wei Shu calls Evie up and talking about the gardens and stuff, and Breyer wishes that he could talk to her with the connection that he has with his sisters, is just like an interesting little throwback to the fact that they can just communicate without any sort of outside sign to anybody. They're just shining with each other at all times.
That's what they do.
And that is such a useful ability to have, to just be able to have a conversation with someone or warn someone about something without being obvious about it. Which kind of comes back up a little bit later, where Rosethorn does her whole like hand signal thing at Evie to like say like, "Hey, I'm like," she closes her fist in front of her face or something to like be like, "Hey, tone it down, like too much."
I love the hand signals. It reminds me of, I have met teachers who have signals like that with certain students in their class, quote unquote, problem students, you know, like students who are more likely to be disruptive. They have worked out signals with them so that the student can like discreetly let them know what's going on in their world, but they can also kind of discreetly be like, hey, I need you to tone it down.
It's useful because, yeah, Evie is 12 and she can sometimes talk a lot about her cats, which nothing wrong with that. But when you're talking to the emperor of an entire kingdom, you probably don't want to piss him off.
Yeah, especially not after the end of this chapter.
Yeah, no, yeah, especially not after that. I loved Briar inspecting the beads after Evie and being like, yo, I need to know what this is. So if I ever have to get in a fight with one of these motherfuckers, I know exactly what to go for, what they do, like how to counter it, like what it means, and like know what to focus on. He's doing opposition research, even though there is no imminent threat stated or implied yet. But he's like, I just don't trust these guys. Like, I can't. When people are in power, they just be doing shit sometimes. So he's like, you know what? I'm just gonna learn it. I'm gonna look at it. I'm gonna know exactly what to go for. Just in case. You know, might be nothing. Maybe I'll never use it. Maybe, you know, Briar will never use it. I doubt that. But
Yeah, it's never coming back.
no, not at all. But he's just so
Fine.
smart. He's so
Like I said,
smart.
it's fine.
Surely he won't use the wood in those beads to stab someone in the neck or something in the future. Maybe. No.
That's
No
an
reaction,
interesting
probably not.
big, that's an interesting choice of
Yeah,
what could happen.
it's just like a crown of thorns except around your neck and angry, you know. So I thought that the gift of the rose bush in the pot that matched the leaves, and everyone's like, oh, this is like nice. Like, it's a nice thing of flowers with like a nice pot. It even has like runes on the inside to like keep the cats from pissing on it, because holy shit, I can relate. Any plants in my house that are not in a room by themselves or like up super high will get pissed on. No, no, can't stop them.
That's another line that I really like the way she phrased it, because she talked about monster, quote, anointing Briar's
Anointing.
jackhands.
Yeah. One of my mom gave my wife a plant like a few years after we started dating, and like I swear within the week one of her cats had pissed in the pot and just killed it dead. It was like a little baby plant. It's like, damn. Yeah, can't have shit when you own cats. Can't do it.
No, you can't.
All our plants
Trust
stay
me.
in a room. Yeah, they just stay in a room that's closed, locked. Cats can't get into it. That's it, because cats are dicks and will piss everywhere if you let them.
Yes. Wretched, vile little creatures.
Just little gremlins. Just mean, stinky little gremlins.
Truly terrible creatures. I say this as if I don't love them, but
Yeah, as if I don't have two at
you
home right now.
know.
They're just chilling. But yeah, they're just horrible little dinguses, and I hate them.
I really like the phrase, like the way it's written of how many deaths did the general carry in all those strings wrapped around his arms, and for whom were they destined? Beautiful. I wrote after that, does anyone know what foreshadowing is?
Never heard of it. No, I don't know what that is.
Absolutely. I don't know. I have no idea. But no, yeah, I love just the way that's phrased. The only other one I have is Rose Thorne spent an hour going over the rose bush again. Once she was done, she had hoped to write her beloved art back at Winding Circles, but she could barely keep her eyes open. But I have those days. I'm like, I want to do a million things. And it's like halfway through one of them, I'm just like, nope, I'm going to go to bed instead. That was me today, actually. But also, beloved Rose, beloved Lark.
Yeah. It's really a shame that Brittany's not here. Because if Brittany was here, she would point out that on page 72, we get all seven names of Evie's cats.
Yeah.
We do.
And the one that was not named in Street Magic is named Raisin.
Raisin. Like Raisin. Raisin
is a good name.
I really like the exchange between the Emperor and Evie with, what do you think of my gardens? There are no rocks in them.
Yeah.
Out the gate, just...
This child is not scared of anything.
Yeah.
That's gonna get her in trouble, but... She's not scared of anything.
Yeah. When Weishu gives Evie the beads, we're reading from Briar's perspective, and it says something about how she like moves them through her hands and they click, like the conversation beads that merchants use back home. And I'm like, I want to know what conversation beads are now and how they work. Like, are these just beads for, like, counting stuff? Or is there, like, a more complex, like, rigmarole that they use them for?
That's a good question. That's interesting.
That is a good question.
I'll remember the lesson that long life and cats are dangerous things.
Did you hear about with the gun on the counter and the cat knocks the gun off the counter and kills a man? God, cats are just dangerous.
Well, that sounds like he was dumb for leaving the gun on the counter with the cat in the house.
Yeah.
Should have known better. Also that. Sorry, my brain just goes to my favorite curse. I hope you live a long, healthy life. Not I hope you live a happy life. I hope you live a long, healthy life. Because I hope that you live long enough to watch everyone and everything you have ever loved die. And you get to live with that and live with your choices. You get to think about it and ruminate on it because if you're very healthy, you just get to live with yourself.
That's like Princess Bride, Wesley's To the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't know anything about cinnabar, so I thought that was pretty cool that they were like, oh, don't touch it with your bare hands because it has quicksilver in it, which, for those of you who don't know, is mercury. So,
yeah.
You will die.
Yeah, it will fuck your day up. It will be bad.
And, let me see, page 84. The last thing I have that we haven't talked about is they were joined for supper by Jiajui, Parahan, and those of the afternoon's party that had actually seemed to enjoy themselves. The group introduced the foreigners to some Yanjingi games and music, then took them to a terrace that looked out over a long body of water. There they were fed the giant carp that swam in its waters until an exquisite display of fireworks, colored flowers and trees made of zayao, were set off in their honor. By the time it was over, Rosethorn, Briar, and Evie were happy to return to their pavilion and their beds. They're kind of wandering around, like they're kind of going about with like this whole like group of courtiers sort of all day long. And I was like, this reminds me a lot of the Will of the Empress.
Yes.
And I feel like I have even more insight into why Briar is so pissy in that book. We know that he's dealing with PTSD from having been in a war, but also he's probably like, oh God, I just got out. Like, I just left.
I hate this. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going through it.
For that matter, even the like day-to-day stuff might be triggering for him because this is what precedes the war. So.
Yeah.
Poor Briar.
Oh, Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. We already kind of started on mine. Mine is lessons. Briar says about the beads, this lesson is not meant for you. Evie says, I'll remember the lesson of that long life and cats are dangerous things. And it's clear that Emperor Weishu is trying to make a point to his general. And as we already discussed, he's making a point to Rose Thorn at the end.
That was exactly mine.
Mine's very similar. It's thinly veiled threats. I even feel that like the cinnabar cat given to Evie might be like a warning, because like, yeah, it's a very cool stone, but also it will kill you if you touch it too much.
Yeah.
Again, with the mage general just like being told like, I did that, you sit there, let them touch your beads. You fucked up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do any more fuck ups or else, you know, it'll be bad. And then obviously the burning at the end.
Mm-hmm. And this is the man who sends Empress Berenine that fabric.
The killer fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would have straight up died, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not nice.
Woof. Yeah. We don't know. Kind of a dick.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter? How to threaten people.
I was going to actually say, pay attention to the double meaning of words.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of this sounds very, very polite. It's not.
Yeah.
Then as someone who is slowly coming to grips with the fact that they are autistic as fuck and does not understand the passive aggression. I don't get it. It's weird. And being called passive aggressive is hilarious because I'm just like, no.
I know there's no real context for this for everyone listening, but Natalie is the most blunt, direct person I think I've ever met.
I was going to say.
One contender, and like, that's not a bad thing, but for someone to call you passive aggressive is actually hilarious.
As a friend of mine said, what is passive about you?
Yeah.
All the aggression you have is active. Exactly. Angry aggression. There is no passive to it.
I've worked very hard to not be so angry, but I am very aggressive. If I like you, I like you aggressively. Like, I'm pretty sure every single one of you knows that I like you. There is no doubt that I like you.
Because we know how you treat people you don't like.
If I don't like you.
You know, we're aware.
Yeah. And like, and if I don't like you, you are very, very aware I don't like you. There is no hiding that.
There is no passivity to it.
For further context to our listeners,
there is no passive.
My husband and I went out to lunch with Indy a couple years ago, and our server, after like having spoken with us for maybe a minute or two, turns to Indy and is like, "You seem like a rather aggressive young person." So Indy's very obviously aggressive. There is no passive.
I was gonna say, a complete stranger is like, yeah, you are an aggressive human being.
Yeah, no, you'd have to be almost brain dead to not realize that. I don't know.
Can we coin the term active aggressive?
Active aggressive.
Huh? Yes.
Like, you know, like there's passive voice and active voice. You're not passive aggressive, you're active aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. That is 100% what I am. But as someone who is coming to terms with the being autistic as fuck and not understanding passive aggressive word, like I miss a lot of social cues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of social cues, but also like it's hard for me sometimes to realize that people are trying to be dicks because they use words and I'm just like, oh yeah, cool, fine, whatever. But I also have a really, really large vocabulary, so 9 times out of 10 I'm just like, these words have multiple meanings. And then I proceed to overthink every single interaction I have with someone. That's the anxiety. Mine is beware of words with double meanings. Sometimes people act nice or say nice things and they don't actually mean to be nice. They're trying to be hateful and rude.
The line that really jumped out at me was, we are nothing without respect to our elders and ancestors. Mostly because I just finished converting to Judaism. Tradition is something that's really important in Judaism, as is the breaking of tradition. So, you know, there's that. But I guess I don't really know what I have to say about it exactly. I think it's one of the things that was attractive to me about Judaism is that there are these traditions. And while there's a lot of room to break from tradition, they're also sort of this thing that you can always return to when you get lost. It's like a guiding point. So
yeah, there's comfort in that. My personal magic is to keep a low profile. Just like Briar. Like, you know, maybe they know what magic you got, maybe they don't. Why let them know that they can't detect your magic? Like, kind of with like Evie telling Parahan, like, oh, this is what my magic can do, watch. Like, keep that close to your chest. Same goes with real life. Like, don't show people what you have or what you know. Like, the dumber you look, the better, frankly. People love showing off when they have money or
Let people underestimate you. It's not a bad thing.
Let them do it. You don't need to. Don't let your ego take over. You know, you don't have to wear designer clothes. You don't have to have like the nicest handbag. Just do something that you want to do, and like just keep it down low. You're less of a target. People won't have people to talk about you. Any reason to talk about you? Like, it's just life is so much easier when you just kind of like you're able to kind of fly under the radar. I'm not saying your entire life has to be that, but why let your opinions be known? I guess. Like, it's for my job in sales, it's kind of important to not let people know. Like, I'm a diehard fucking liberal. I'm not going to tell everyone. I'm not going to put stickers on the back of my car that says, you know, hey, I'm a liberal. You know, like, I don't think there's any reason for me to put any other like target on my back or something. So I keep a low profile. Breyer's doing it too, and I can appreciate it.
It's smart. It's real smart.
Thanks. But yeah, Breyer's a smart cookie.
He is. We like him for it. We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 6 of Battle Magic. "Emmy, stop it," he whispered. She jumped, but she did not turn around. "No," she whispered fiercely. "I won't leave him here. What if the Emperor turns on him one day and burns him up like he did the roses?" "How did you find out about that?" Briar grabbed her by the shoulders and tried to yank her to her feet. It was like trying to move a boulder, as he should have remembered from the last time he tried to displace her when she didn't want to obey. "I heard the servants talking," she told him patiently. "Why don't you stop being silly and help me? I don't know why I can't move these things." The sight of the gardener's corpses burning at the heart of the rose garden was still too fresh in his mind. "He can't come with us," he told Evie. "They'll kill us if they think we helped him to escape." "I bet he knows a way out of the palace grounds," Evie said flatly. "The only things that keep him here are the cage and his chains." Then she said the thing that truly horrified Briar. "I brought your lockpicks with me. I'm going to pick his locks. But first, I have to get in there, and these blocks won't budge." Briar chewed his lip. He knew what Sandry and Triss would say. He even knew what Daja, who was far more practical, would say. "What's the matter, thief boy? Lost your nerve?" "I have plenty of nerve," he muttered to his smith mage sister. He hesitated for a moment longer, then realized that Evie was throwing her power into the marble block again. She wasn't waiting for him to decide. Growling softly, he cast his magic around to see if there were vine seeds in the earth. The gardeners had cut back the local vines, but if he could get their seeds to grow, there was no risk of examiners later finding bits of foreign ones he might have to grow from the seeds in his mage kit. It was in that casting that he felt the ghost of once living plants at the level of his face. How could that be possible? The only thing in front of him was the marble wall. He shook his hands as if to clear them of the last magic he had used, a habit Rosethorn teased him for, and let more of his power flow out directly in front of him. Now the entire wall responded with that shadow of life that had once been green. "Evie, stop," he whispered. "What's in the mortar?" "Mostly limestone," she replied, her voice as soft as his. "There are other things in it that I don't feel, though. It clings like the marble is going to run away." Briar ran his fingers over the cracks between the blocks. Suddenly, he grinned. "And you think plant magic is useless?" He crouched on the ground and opened his kit. "You mean it isn't?" Evie inquired, being difficult on purpose. "Apparently, the thing you can't feel is rice," Briar informed her. "And that I can manage." "Rice?" she demanded, outraged. "I know rice in my bowl, and I know it in the mortar. It's the rice in the mortar that makes it cling so, I'll bet. Tell me, were you going to pull the wall down?" "Nope. I was going to pull out just enough blocks to climb in." "And that's what we'll do. But we should make that enough blocks to let Parahan out. 3 blocks by 2 blocks? That should do. Let me get rid of your mortar first."
Friar ran his hands over the cracks between the blocks, pouring his magic into them, into the openings around their neighbors. He wouldn't have thought that rice would have remained so strong compared to the stone, but it had. When he called it to him, it brought small chunks of the limestone in the mortar with it. "I should have put down a cloth," he said with dismay, looking at the small heaps of white powder on the ground. "Should have, would have," Evie muttered. She reached for a block that sat 2 feet above the ground. It slid from the wall and dropped. "Careful," Briar whispered. He called to vine seeds as Evie called the next block. This time, as she called it slowly forward, fat, strong vines were there to wrap themselves around the block and steady it as Briar and Evie put it to one side of the opening. The vines released it and were at the opening, sliding under the next block, before Evie had so much as a chance to turn around. As soon as they had finished their opening, Evie stuck her head inside. Briar heard her whisper something. Then she wriggled into the building. He slung his pack in after her, feeling her, he hoped it was her, take it from him. Then he slid through the opening in the wall. To his surprise, there was a lamp burning inside one cage over. In the cage directly in front of him, Parahan sat cross-legged on its floor.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Is it bad that I don't know what Craven is?
He's just an African hunter, essentially, or like his dad was a hunter and he started hunting big game. And like, who's a more challenging thing than a lion? Because he like stabbed a lion to death with a spear and wears it. It's like, oh, a man who's part spider living in New York. I'm going to hunt him down for fun.
Mm.
That's kind of his whole shtick. He actually has a movie coming out next year. And believe it or not, and this is the funniest fucking thing.
Really?
Yeah. So a trailer dropped, and like right before I watched it with Allison, I told her, hey, I really hope that Craven doesn't get his powers by getting bitten by a radioactive lion. And that's how he gets his like nature hunting abilities.
No.
And I swear to fucking God, no joke, go watch the trailer. He gets bitten by a lion, and that's how he gets his like nature hunting abilities, like straight up.
What kind of radioactive animal would you like to be bit by, Goodwin?
Bro, oh my God, you can't just ask me that. I have no fucking clue. There's so many options. I'm gonna go with mantis shrimp.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I love mantis shrimp. I think they're just the coolest fucking things. Like, my punches will boil the water out of the atmosphere. I don't know.
That's a really good one.
Sick as fuck.
I would like to get bit by a radioactive red-tailed hawk, and then I can just be Tobias from Animorphs.
Nice.
Obligatory Animorphs reference.
Obligatory Animorphs reference.
That's it. Indian giant squirrel.
Are those the ones that are also like rainbow colored?
Yes.
Yes.
A foot long body. That's a big motherfucking squirrel. Jesus Christ.
It's a big ass squirrel.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.